Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic because we're getting some of your help and we're happy to have you on board. We ask that you continue growing the show. As we've been kind of watching, as we've been starting off this show, we're ranking on TalkStream Live. We're somewhere between 5 and 10. In other words, out of hundreds of talk shows that are out there, when our show begins, when Reclaiming the Republic, yours and mine, this show begins, we're somewhere between 5 and 10. And, you know, in looking at, you know, all of the different shows that we compete with that are live, like Mark Levin and others, I'm going, well, you know, that's actually not bad. So keep it up, and we will continue to try to provide you the content and marketing that helps bring people to realize that this show is about solutions. This show is not about giving you different perspectives of the same problem with nothing else to offer. To me, and as a matter of fact, going to David Zazinga, because I think it was his website that kind of called this out, I think that it's great to, you know, to call the news cycle what we get consumed with and having to watch, oh, the tragedy of this, you know, the people dying from this earthquake, from this collapse, or why? Not that these things aren't important, but are they that important to take you away from fixing the problem that is destroying our liberty? It's destroying our future as far as everything. I mean, if you understand what we're going to lose, we are going to lose everything. We will be subjugated. We will be living under a new rule of government where you will no longer have the civil rights and the liberty that is guaranteed by this Constitution. If we're not engaged in trying to stop this Bolshevik revolution, and we need everybody's focus and help, then we're going to lose because they are focused. This is one of the reasons why I read that little letter called The Commitment that Billy Graham reads, so that people understand those people who are engaged in the Bolshevik Revolution, they're willing to die for their cause, for communism to take over. Wow. And I'm just asking you to take a very serious look. And hopefully you're going to take that same position ideologically, that you'd be willing to die. I didn't serve 20 years in the Marine Corps because I wasn't willing to die. And I'm not doing this today because I'm not willing to die. I am willing to die for your liberties. Are you willing to do the same? Because I'm putting it out there. If you understand what we may have to do, it is worth it if we can preserve liberty for our posterity. What better gift can we give for the betterment of the world? Because the world, if America maintains its liberty, if America maintains its constitutional republic, it will be an anchor for the world from sliding off that ledge. So with that, you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. And this is a show that is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Again, we try to remind you that we are trying to stimulate a listener drive. We're trying to ask you to say, hey, here is a podcast, and we're hoping that you're taking note of the days that you really felt moved, that you said, wow, this is a really good, informative show. We need to get this content to other people by you getting them to, you know, send the link to our podcast or what have you. Send them our content. We have constitutional articles. You're more than, you know, we're more than happy to share with you, and you are invited openly invited to share this content with anybody and everybody. Take our PDFs and send them. read this, and getting people to understand the Constitution in a different light. Anyway, one of the things that we want to get into is the content that we're going to be covering. And so we kind of already covered the scale of liberty, natural law, American republicanism, and helped redefine what Republican really is, republicanism, and a Republican form of government really is. And so we are going to talk a little bit about that today, because we've got this big push for democracy, because Biden's out there wanting everybody to be able to vote and everybody to vote in everything. And I'm going, you know, obviously these guys don't care. They're elitists. And what they want is just a mass push to allow the world to vote in our elections so that they can overthrow us. And that is not the form of government we have. Anyway, we also covered the ratification debates, the Assumption Act. We covered the cod fishery bounties, Madison's essay on property, and the Whiskey Rebellion in that order. Before we get into the resolutions, we do have this one little event that occurred right after the Whiskey Rebellions, which is called the 11th Amendment. And the reason this is important is because the Convention of States kind of points to, you know, amendments and so forth. And what I want to do is I want to prove, you know, how amendments and how the process really works and who owns that process. Not, you know, some 501c3, not some, you know, nonprofit, non-GO or NGO type of organization where, you know, they're trying to drive an agenda. The people that own the convention that is a part of the Article 5 process are your state legislators. And the fact that they have actually allowed themselves to be co-opted by an external organization, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't bode well for your state. If your state is signed up for the Convention of States, then it doesn't bode well. Now, my hat goes off to those state leaders that realize we have to do something. And so the only thing they can figure out is this. But the only reason that they've applied for this is because they don't understand the Constitution. And they've been bamboozled by these people that are convincing them that this is what they have to do. They have to open up the Constitution. And actually, no. This is why we want to actually start having meetings with both the states that have passed these Article 5 convention petitions, as well as those who are pushing for that, because we need to let this go. We need to start focusing on the solution, not focusing on actually causing more problems and or wasting time that has nothing to do with really solving the problem. Anyway, but then we're going to get into the resolutions as well. So these two kind of go together, the 1798 resolutions as well as the 11th Amendment. We're going to get into state enabling acts. We've actually missed a few, but what we want to do at that point after the resolutions, we want to start focusing on how each state was brought into the Union from Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, and some of these other states as they were quickly brought into the Republic. How did they come in and how did that start changing? How did Congress start figuring out that they could violate the Constitution and they could get away with it, at least so they thought? And so anyway, then we'll get into the Missouri Compromise, the Monroe Doctrine, the Manifest Destiny, and so forth and so on. You know, there's a lot more that we'll give you the picture over the horizon. And we're building up to Constitution Day. So in September 17th, Constitution Day, we will read the Constitution. And then we will take off from where we left off. If we haven't hit the 14th Amendments and some of these other things, the progressive eras and all that, then we will. But then we will go right back into the ratification debates, which will hopefully take us right up to the Bill of Rights. And then we will kind of go back into, you know, the cycle of the content again. Because what we want to do is we want to make sure that you are getting all of the information of how this Constitution was defined. And that's the most important part here. So anyway, let's just talk about really some things that are in our face right now. As you know, the NBA, I think, is just wrapping up its championship or what have you. I have no idea who's playing and I don't care. Bottom line is the NBA is a social justice organization. These are a bunch of elitists who are openly supporting Chinese Communist Party, as well as they're supporting a movement for global slavery to communism. When we say slavery, we're not talking about some corporate master or some plantation master. We're talking about the ultimate masters of government, the state sovereign, state slavery. Because when the state dictates everything, you have become a slave. And so there's nothing better than the full tyranny of state slavery. And when I say that, I'm being about as sarcastic as I can possibly be. Because when you look at what is going on in China, if they disagree or if they think you are harmful and, you know, bad influence, they will punish you. They will come after you. And ultimately, they will put you in one of their gulags or prison systems, and they will harvest your organs and kill you because you're of no worth to them. I mean, when you realize that the way the communists look at people in this world, there are way too many of them, and there's way too many that mean nothing to them, because it is a class of elitists who are running the Chinese Communist Party as well as this global communist movement. These are all elitists, from Soros across the board, the Gates, all of these people. As a matter of fact, I think that there needs to be some serious looks at who are the true threats to humanity and what we need to do to actually put them in check so that they can't harm humanity. Because these people are trying to unleash bioweapons that'll kill millions.
It's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so see, I just did it. I actually bled into one of my promos, so forgive me. But what you have to understand is that these elitists are, they really don't care. Go look at the Georgia Guidestones. I said millions when we were going into break. Actually, billions. They have billions of people that they need to get rid of. The Georgia Guidestones basically lays out the acceptable amount of human life on Earth to being a half a billion, 500 million people. And if you look at the United States is at 300 million. So we almost take up that. And I'm telling you that they look at many people in the United States as worthless as well. Especially those who understand liberty. when you look at these revolutions, the first people they get rid of are those people who pose the greatest threat. Now, let's not get into the weeds on all of this. The whole point is that these idiots in the NBA, these elitists that are making all of this money to play and really do nothing, well, those folks are absolutely, you know, if you look at the organ grinder and the monkey, because that's how it always is. Whoever grinds the organ, the performers will perform. And that's all these folks are, whether they be rock and roll stars, whether they be actors, whether they be musicians, it does not matter. Even athletes, they are performers. And so everybody is awed by their talent on the field, on the stage, whatever it is that they're doing. And so they're just so good. Really, they're not that good. They're human beings. They put on their pants just like you and I. They've just gotten really good at lying and being deceptive. So the bottom line is that these liars, these people who are out performing, who are promoting the slavery to the communist movement of the world? Why? Why are we even allowing these things to continue? I would be appalled. I would be appalled if you had, or I lived in a city that actually had a professional team. I'm glad I don't live in a city anymore that has a professional team. And if you do, you should actually start a movement to remove that city's name from that team as a movement of shame. I mean, when you have a football team or a basketball team that is out there crying for social justice, they don't represent your city. This goes back down to representation and a Republican form of government. When entities are being your ambassadors, when an entity or an elected official is your representative, they need to do everything that represents you and what I would consider the galvanized and the accepted, the codified, the systematic processes that we've put into our system via the Constitution and our laws, as well as our nation of laws, our webwork of laws, because from the Constitution being the foundation to the state constitutions out to county laws and so forth, everything has to align and actually be in harmony with the Constitution. Because if you have a law that is violently against or violates the Constitution, then it is not a legal law. And it must be voided. It must be nullified if it is perceived as a legitimate law. And there's a part of it, then it needs to be wiped away. This is kind of where we go with the concept of slavery when we look at the Constitution and this thing called the Declaration of Independence that creates the foundation for American ideology that all men are created equal. Then in Article 4 of the Constitution, where any person of indentured servitude or is a slave that runs away and goes to another state, that state is supposed to turn that person over? Are you kidding? That's repugnant to the inalienable rights that all people were born free, that we're all born equal with inalienable rights of the right of life, the liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so when states started waking up like Wisconsin, they started getting it. Now the NFL is getting ready to start their preseason in probably a couple of weeks or so. And are we going to let them continue to try to berate us? I mean, look what's going on with Washington and the name of that team. Social justice is run amok. And as far as I'm concerned, we have to shut the door. At least I have. I've shut the door. And I'm hoping that all of America just continues to allow these teams and these leagues to languish in Waller in a zero revenue to where these athletes break themselves because they can't make enough money because they're too focused on politics instead of just playing the game and being the performer that they're supposed to be, instead of trying to perform this this dance in convincing us that we all need to buy into communism. We have to openly rebuke these positions that these people are making. These elitists poking the Constitution are hypocrites. They're using the Constitution to speak their mind, but they want to create a system that takes away your right of speech. Now, this is not based on necessarily just race, or this is not on the basis of liberty, or even anything within the Constitution. They are doing everything they can to pervert this process. They're not looking to amend the Constitution to create a Department of Health and Human Services. They've gotten away with breaking these things. So, bottom line, we need to really start looking at, and I want you to start looking at things from a Republican view. And when I say a Republican view, I mean the American Republicanism view. Because when we look at government, when we look at our engagement, we have representatives. We no longer have a king. We no longer have, you know, a despot. We don't have a monarch. We don't have a dictator that leads us. And Biden is trying to be just that. Believe it or not, Trump was just that. We have to break this trend of allowing the president to speak in every facet for us. We have representatives, and that's where Congress is. And we need to get Congress to start actually understanding who they represent. This is why we really need to start shifting paradigms. And I had a really good conversation last night with an individual in Wyoming about working a ground game across county lines, across, you know, the entire state, to getting everybody engaged in a very specific narrative and conversation. Because I believe when we start going down these paths, this is where we are going to win the battle. Because we need to start really getting people to start understanding what is a Republican form of government. Now, when we look at American Republicanism, we understand that, one, first off, Republicanism in a basic definition is a representative government where the people actually elect somebody that represents them. But in America, we've grown on that because we acknowledge the fact that we actually have different levels of government. We have a local government, which is our county. Then we have a state government. And then we have the national government, or a federal type of government, a very limited federal government. And so when we create these small governments, we actually give them a level of sovereignty to rule us. In other words, we're electing representatives and giving them the authority over whatever the constitutional boundaries are of how to govern us, from our local traffic, our local commerce, and those types of things. And at the state level, at a higher level, you know, other issues of sovereignty. Sometimes you may have a state that actually has the power and the authority for education and healthcare. Those things have actually been amended to the Constitution. Many states, though, have not done that. What they've done is they created these powers via mandates from the federal government. So that's all unconstitutional. The federal government cannot mandate what a state government is supposed to do. It's not in the Constitution. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and laws and treaties that are in pursuant to those enumerated powers in the Constitution is the supreme law. But that's it. So if there's no enumerated power for education, healthcare, and all of these other little things, labor, and the state government use the federal government mandates to start governing their citizens based on this, that we have to actually stand up and say, hey, you can't do this. We never delegated you this power. You want that power, you have to get our approval. There's a lot of problems at the state level, but we can get all of these fixed. But this is where Republican review really comes in. But more importantly, let's focus on Republicanism and Republican form of government. Because not only is it a representative and a representative of sovereigns, because we the people are sovereigns, and the governance that we the people create, these constitutional governments, those are sovereigns as well. And so we believe at the next level up, the representation should be of such to where the people of the county and the sovereigns of the county are represented in both a House of Representatives of the people and a Senate within the state. This is where we no longer have this representation. And as a matter of fact, the democracy movement has taken away your right of equal representation, because now you have to compete amongst many counties that may have very diverse differences. You could have a coastal county, and then you can have interior to desert counties, and the interests and the needs of each of these counties vary so vastly that the lack of their representation in the state is abysmal, and it's terrible, and it's destructive. We'll be right back talking about why and how after these two promos.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so why and how is sharing representation at the county level destructive? And I'll give you a good example, because in California, there are 10 counties that struggle for their representation in the state legislature, in the Senate, as well as in the House of Representatives. Every county has people in it, and they deserve at least one representative. And if you want to start giving greater representation to, you know, a city, then you still have to at least represent the county, the people of each county. You have to do this. This is why in the U.S. Constitution, every state is guaranteed at least one representative in the House of Representatives. When the Constitution was ratified, every state realigned their state constitutions to guarantee that the counties themselves took the model of a state in representation, so that the people of the county were represented and the people of the or I should say the sovereigns of those counties were represented in the Senate, as the state was being represented in the Senate, in the U.S. Senate. So this model of representation of sovereignty are those who govern us at the lower level and the people at that level. Then that goes up and that transcends into both the state as well as the national government. Now, so getting back to how this is destructive is when you have 10 counties, and those counties vary from forest to desert to agriculture and so forth, getting the necessary resources and getting the necessary budget to support the difference in infrastructure needs, well, they can't get that representation. That's why these counties are starving. That's why they can't get developed. Or that's why in agriculture, the agriculture is actually becoming beaten up to where in California, the agricultural belt is not getting the water. They've been shutting down food. Our cost of food has gone up, and the revenue regarding the food that's been harvested out of California has gone down. So how is that a benefit when all of a sudden the state has to make up for a loss in revenue because they're feeding all the money going into the urban centers for mass transit, for free housing, for all of the freebies, because those are the people that are voting in the communist movement and starving the rest of the state. It is a very destructive model. What the framers gave us, if you understand how it maintains a balance, how the majority cannot create an oppressive environment, our constitutional republic is designed to protect the minorities. And when I say minorities, I'm not just talking racial minorities. I am talking about the minorities that are inhabiting the nether reaches of the state. You know, those who are living out in the agricultural belt, those who are living in the mountains for forestry or mining, and those types of industries, because those types of industries bring in big revenue. If you look at what one farmer can do in bringing in revenue, it's a lot more than the average worker, especially a person that toils. Now, we need to start really reevaluating, but we need to look at our Republican form of government as our foundation. So in the news, it is being said, I think ABC is basically reported this way, with GOP-led legislatures across the nation advancing new voting laws, Congress is in a deadlock over proposed legislation in basically putting democracy on steroids. President Joe Biden is expected to deliver a speech, a major speech, on voting rights in Philadelphia today. And on his administration, he's actually going to be more aggressive in fighting over ballot access at the urging of civil rights groups and Democrats. Now, what does this mean by ballot access? We want to be able to vote in this election. Let's look at things from a realistic perspective. Stocks and corporations that are openly traded on the New York Stock Exchange, it doesn't matter which exchange, but let's just take the New York Stock Exchange. You've got Ford and you have all of these other, you know, F being their symbol. You have all of these other stocks, GM and so forth. And if you own stock on the New York Stock Exchange, based on the Democratic argument, you should be able to vote in every corporate governance structure. Even though you only own stock in one of the companies, you should be able to vote on the governance of all of the companies in the New York Stock Exchange. Why aren't you allowed to do that? Because the premise is that you have to have vested interest. If you only own this, you know, if you only own Ford, and you're allowed to go and vote on Chrysler, General Motors, and other automobile governance, you could actually vote to destroy or harm those other companies so that your investment in Ford would be better. Because Ford would be the benefit of selling more cars because it is being governed better. And the fact is that is absolutely destructive. When we allow people to get involved in nefarious types of actions, such as taking from one to give to another, giving an advantage or putting somebody in to ensure an advantage is given or a disadvantage is given. We understood a long time ago this concept of skin in the game. Even Obama used that term. You got to have skin in the game. Well, Why is it that in every election, we allow people to vote on things that they have no skin in the game? When it comes to property tax and levies on property, well, everybody's got skin in the game. No. If you're not a property owner, then you don't have skin in that game. Maybe you're a renter. Doesn't matter. You have a property owner, and that property owner should be the one voting. When you allow everybody to vote, then you have basically created a democracy, and you've injected people who are voting to benefit themselves at your disadvantage or at your own demise. It happens, and this is the design. This was the Tytler cycle in the late 1700s, and the framers were aware of this. This is why they didn't allow these things. They understood the Tytler cycle of democracy and how people would start voting for advantages and, you know, basically giving themselves stuff. Now, clearly, government cannot give you anything if it is not a delegated power in the Constitution. The federal government is writing checks and spending money on things that they have no business doing. Now, when we start looking at who else should be represented and who else should be able to have a say on representation, because when we look at campaigns and we look at elections, we need to start looking at the elections and those who are speaking in the election or the campaign process. Now, let me ask you this. Would it be right, or should we allow Communist China to actually come in here and present propaganda on every radio station, on every television station, and so forth, in trying to influence an election that they have no skin in the game? Absolutely not. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, Biden would give the world absentee ballots so everybody could vote in the American election. And that is not, I mean, that's taking democracy and putting it on such outside of the scope bounds and steroids, it would be the demise of our American system. But the bottom line is that we need to start looking at who should be engaged, not only at the election booth, but in the campaign process, because we do know that money does buy elections. Money does buy outcome. Because if you have the campaign that's got the money that's pouring into the advertising and so forth, then what you now have is you have influence in the outcome of that election, because you're basically just fire hosing everybody with all of this data or all this information. So we need to start actually going after who can influence in your elections. This is why we're huge in supporting and creating a narrative at the state level of who can actually have an influence in the area of the election. Now, when I say area of the election, is it a state race? If it's a state race, then anybody. So what would a state race be? Well, a state race would be your electors for the president, because you can have at large electors, or you can have congressional districts and at large. Well, so bottom line, we don't even use the electors, but this is the constitutional process. We're supposed to be voting for electors, not the president. We're not supposed, the president's name is not supposed to be on the ballot. What's supposed to be on the ballot are our electors, who we choose to represent us in voting for the president. I mean, that flies in the face of everything everybody understands, but that's how it is in the Constitution. And that's how they did it a long time ago. They actually voted for electors. They voted for those people who they trusted, who understood the issues better than they did. And you know what? Do you think we're better off today because everybody understands the issues better now today, or worse today? I'm telling you, we understand it a lot worse, because we're being fed propaganda and information to basically, you know, drive us in one direction or another. As far as the filth and the background and the stories, you know, like he mean tweets, he treats women badly. So what? Not that those things aren't important, but what is the scope of the election and what do we need to focus on? I'll be right back to talk about that after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the scope of the election, what is the primary focus for this position? Let me ask you this. How many times do you have the conversation when it comes down to legislators, whether that be your county commissioner, whether that be your representative in your state representative body, or your congressman, or your senator at the state legislative body, or I should say the county representing your county, and or your state in the Senate, U.S. Senate. So when you're starting to look at, you know, legislators, people who write laws, you know, there's always these things like the moral character and so forth. We have become so secular that when we look at, you know, all of the people in the race, we're looking at literally communists, people who do not care about your liberty and your sovereignty and want to invoke, you know, state draconian measures, state slavery, and those types of things. Okay, so you've got those people that are showing up on one party of the ballot. There's even the actual Communist Party, but bottom line, the Democratic Party is the Communist Party today. Now, anybody that says, oh, that you can't say that. Absolutely. The Labor Party around the world is the Communist Party. What's the Labor Party in America? The Democratic Party. Thank you so much. So what that means is that the Labor Party is the Communist Party in America, which is the Democratic Party. So you can't have it both ways. Anyway, so what is the scope of the election or the primary focus for these people? They have to understand the Constitution because they have to make laws that are in pursuant to the Constitution. If not, they're making laws that will take away your liberty, that violate the Constitution, and cause all sorts of problems with our life and our sovereignty. This is why they've done these this is why they created these emergency laws that outright violate the Constitution. Do you want to continue letting them do these things? Then you have to make the emphasis instead of being whether this person smoked pot or not, because we got to get past this. We've got to get past some of the moral problems, and we have to actually start looking at, you know, the real issue of, does this person understand the Constitution? That is first and foremost. Because, you know, this person could be a huge, you know, advocate for, you know, stopping abortion and stopping, you know, some of the immorality and some of these other things by inducing a theocracy such as Islam. If you start understanding where we have to focus on the job focus, not on the moral focus, the character. I'm not saying that it's not important. Yeah, you don't want a pedophile. You don't want somebody that is actively engaged or in addictive behavior. But the fact is, if somebody has made a mistake in their life and they've been living a clean life, regardless of how they got there, but they're living a clean life over the past 10, 15 years, then cut them some slack. I didn't hate Bill Clinton because we knew he lied when he said, "I didn't inhale." I know he lied. We all know he lied. He was a stoner. He was a drunk. This guy caused serious brain damage, and he was a brilliant man. He's brilliant in deceiving people. But the fact of the matter is that we have to actually start looking at what they say and what they understand, and that they are going to be accountable. So we need to start focusing on the fact that they understand the Constitution, that they're going to take an oath, and we need to get them more committed on resigning if they do anything that violates the Constitution. I do not want to see a public servant at any level engaged in an adulterous affair go into the public array. I don't want to see that. But I don't want to focus on allowing somebody because they've got some other moral problems or they have other things that are happening in their life to, you know, get them into a position. If this person, look at Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson. Both of these men were accused of having an adulterous affair. Now, Thomas Jefferson was never proven to actually have that intimate relationship, but he was still kind of courting, taking private time, and, you know, that was wrong in those days, and that was tantamount to adultery. He never, and as a matter of fact, he went to his grave defending the fact that he never crossed that line of intimacy. But we do know Alexander Hamilton was being blackmailed because he was constantly being in an adulterous affair, being blackmailed. So there's a big difference between the two, that, you know, somebody has done something, and if they're in office and they're having these things, either they get themselves right and they, you know, start doing the moral and the right thing to do, or they do need to resign. If their fixation is more towards their lusts for whatever it is that they're seeking, then they need to resign because they're a public servant. They are to support the Constitution, not their lusts and fixations. Anyway, the whole point is that when we start looking at these campaigns, we got to stop raking people over the coals for whatever personal flaws that they have, as long as they're doing everything they can, and as long as they're willing to commit to supporting the Constitution to the letter of the law, that they recognize that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, that they cannot compel people, you know, to, you know, support, you know, the not selling or the banning of bacon, or to, you know, get people to allow sanctuary cities. No, the Constitution is clear. They're supposed to stop an invasion. We're supposed to, you know, support the Constitution and get these invaders out, to support free commerce. So when people start having these questions, you need to start understanding how to focus on what the job description is. But let's get back to this local elections and making elections local. Tech companies and big businesses have been pouring big dollars into PACs. We need to make sure that the money that is coming in at the area of election, if it's a state level, the only money that Walmart can spend in a state election, statewide election, that they may have the ability to influence because they're in the state, are the dollars that they have made from the people of that state. They cannot bring the profits from across the country and across the world and funnel it in to buy the outcome of an election or to influence. So in other words, when you're looking at a state like Wyoming, and Wyoming, you know, it's not a rich state, so they don't make a lot of money off of Wyoming. They make money, but they're not making like they are in California, where, you know, everybody lives and dies at Walmart, practically. Then you can start seeing that constraining them to only using the profits from those stores in that state ties their hands. It actually ties their hands in accounting as well, because they're not accounting of how they're making that profit. And oh, by the way, if they're going to use any of that money, it has to be taken out of the profits before, you know, it goes up. And it has to be put into like a trust or a holding. I don't care if it's bearing interest or not, but it has to be put into a holding so that that money is identified up front as political investment money. It's okay. I'm okay with those types of companies doing it. But if Google doesn't have a physical presence in your state, then Google can't spend a penny. Soros can't spend a penny. They have to be residents and they have to be able to live within the area of election or operate, physically operate, because this is about representation. We have a representative form of government, and the only people who should be able to influence the elections are those who are qualified to be represented. China does not qualify to be represented in any state. So no foreign country, no foreign entity or person should be able to provide any financial contributions for any election in America. Any. Doesn't matter. And so when we start looking at, you know, pushing this narrative, now we actually start closing doors and make it impossible for the Hollywood elitists and the rich elitists to live in every state, to be able to live and have this influence in trying to buy and moving the country with their money. And what it does is it also makes those races, I'm going to use Wyoming again, it uses the local market, how much money is in that local legislative district, to make it reasonable so that anybody can run and actually have a successful run. Because the guys that are getting the funding from people that are buying the influence from out of the area of election, that stops. That, you know, the NRA or the any of these types of organizations, like the Firemen's Organization, the money that the Firemen's Organization that can contribute in your legislative district would be only from those dues that would be contributed from that legislative district, not from the entire state. So if you start understanding how we can really constrain how that money flows, now we can make elections local, because now we can actually have a strong challenger. We need you to really start considering becoming a challenger in your state legislature. I cannot emphasize enough, the most important races that we're going to be voting in 2022 will be your state legislative races. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.